Aren't you thankful, glad that Jesus can help us? Oh my, yes indeed, amen. Open your Bibles once again with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and when you find that, then I want you to locate, just go forward a couple, three pages, Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians 4:2, and then Colossians 3:12. Ephesians 4:2, Colossians 3:12, after you locate Galatians 5:22. First of all, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then in Ephesians 4 and verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1 as well. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He's telling us to put on different things here. But in verse 12 he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Bible has quite a bit to say about that. And of course, as I said, it just means the same thing as patience. Okay? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And let me just preface what I'm going to say this morning. I believe that this particular fruit of the Spirit, or trait of the Spirit, is one of the most needed fruits to bear. Patience doesn't come easy for most people. Patience. Boy, everything we do, we're in a hurry, aren't we, basically. I mean, you're at the bank and you're in line and the people are doing this number and they're wanting them to hurry up and get moving. Or if you're in line at some place and you don't move when the person behind you thinks you should, they curse you with their horn, you know. But anyway, patience doesn't come easy. And I'll tell you one reason why. The main reason, actually. This comes and or calls for, this patience, calls for giving the Holy Spirit complete control. Let me ask you a question this morning to challenge you. Does the Holy Spirit have complete control of your life? If he doesn't, he should. He should. He should. You know, we're prisoners of the Lord. We're not free to do anything we want to do. We belong to the Lord. We're his. Christ died for us, was crucified, shed his blood, and we belong to him. But yes, and of course, without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to live the life that we ought to live, and especially this thing of patience. First of all, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then love and joy, and then peace. But today I want us to take a little while here to talk about this matter here of long-suffering. That is patience. Many times in your Christian life and mine, one of the things that God's going to do as we seek His face, and we should every day of our lives, a regular time in prayer. And isn't it true that most of the time we're always wanting something, don't we? We like to ask God for different things. And God will answer and God provides. But sometimes God says, wait. There's where we run into trouble. Wait. Don't want to wait. I want it now. I want you to do this now. Help me with this now. Waiting is a virtue. It is that which you and me need. We need to wait. Don't, and we should never doubt that God is taking care of. He hears us when we pray, but let's let Him do what God knows is best for you and me. What is best? We need to do that. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, for instance, he says very simply, wait on the Lord. In Psalm 37 and verse 7, wait patiently for Him. See, preacher, well, what do I do while I'm waiting? Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on doing the right thing. Stay in church. Stay on your knees. Stay in the Bible. And just wait on Him. Just wait on Him. No, you don't quit seeking Him through what I just said. We keep on doing that. And then in Psalm 62 and verse 5, it says, wait only upon God. And then in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord. Now, I want to turn to that. Turn with me to Isaiah 40, chapter 40. I want us to look at verse 31. And I want you to look at what God tells us here about waiting. Okay? Mark it in your Bible if you haven't already. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many times do you ask God for strength? See? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isn't that a majestic bird when you see them soaring, when you do see one? Of course, we're seeing more and more of them all the time. Then he says, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But you know, the sad thing is, a lot of times we get in this position, we don't remember things like this. That's why you hear your pastor almost a consistent, regular basis. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Bible. It's our directory. It's our source of information. It's our serving manual, the Word of God. We need it, going to need it. Will there never be a day that we don't need it? In Lamentations 3 and verse 25, listen to what it says there. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him. All He ever wants to do is be good to us. Well, that should encourage us, right? In Acts 1:4, the disciples were to wait for the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, we're to wait for His Son from heaven. And then we're told in Hebrews 12:1, Christians are to run the race with patience over and over and over again. Man, this afternoon, I don't know what may happen. I don't know what may take place tomorrow. I don't know, but I do know that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always there. We can always depend on Him. Yes, things come. Things come to hurt and to cause us perplexion and cause us to... Hey, by the way, don't ever wonder if God's there. You know, and I know we have an enemy. It's the devil. And he wants you to do anything and everything but trust and look to God. He will do a number on you if you allow him to. But don't allow him. And you can do that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you want the devil to flee or one of his demons, just plead the blood of Christ. They can't stay around. You've heard me say that before, but it's true. You plead the blood of Christ and you'll immediately see and feel that the evil one has fled. And you're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to be patient. Lord, help us. We as Christians, and especially, let me just preface this, we're the day we're living in. I'm going to be very honest with you. I get frustrated. And some things I hear, see, makes me mad. Now, don't look at me like that. It does you too. If you don't get mad over some of those things, your matter's broke. Your matter. Yeah, it does. But then the Holy Spirit's got to kick me and say, hey, God's in charge. The last day's perilous times shall come. They're here, and I want to tell you, they're going to get worse. But God never changes. He's there, and He always will be. Got to understand that. He didn't tell us that we wouldn't have any hard times. I'm going to say more about that in just a second. Exhortation, encouragement to have patience. And then the second thing, we have some examples of patience in the Word of God. Many, many different areas. I know one of the first people you think about, who is it you think about first of all when you think about patience? That's it. I heard Job. It's true. Oh, Job. Oh, boy. He is an encouragement. Yeah, boy, he believed God. He trusted God. All he had was lost everything he had and all of his children. That's all that happened to him. And no big deal, you know. Now, I'm being facetious, you know that. Oh, my. But he trusted God. His wife said, won't you just curse God and die? And what did he say? Oh, foolish woman. He trusted God, and then God restored, if you read chapter 42, the end of the book, restored to him twofold everything that he had. You know why he did that? Because Job trusted him. Even in the hardest of times, what would you do if you lost 12 children at one time? One time, all gone, one time. Humanly speaking, we'd say, well, if anybody had any reason to despair, boy, that would be it. Got to trust God. Then we got to trust God when family and fortune are taken. I read this story, don't even remember his name, but he was a football player. This was years ago. And you know the money that these, even more so now than it was then, but it was a lot of money. And I don't know, things went awry. He may have gotten injured or something, I don't know. But it wasn't all that long, and there was millions of dollars involved in this, but it wasn't that long. He was broke and working in a bar. Didn't have a dime. And folks, there were beat times in your life and mine when our hearts are broken. I'm going to share something with you. If you'll be faithful, you'll serve God now, what we would commonly refer to as the good times. You stay in this book, and you serve the Lord faithfully. Stay in the house of God, do what you're supposed to do as a Christian. It won't stop hurting, but you know who's in charge, and you trust Him to lead you on. And unless the Lord comes first, that day's going to come in your life. As sure as you're breathing right now, those days are coming in your life. Hey, preacher, you ought not to tell me things like that. I'm just being truthful with you. And I want you, when that happens, to be able to know that God can handle it. And He will. He didn't say it wouldn't hurt. It's appointed unto men wants to die. After that, the judgment. We're not going to live forever. What is your life? Even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's gone. But boy, when you know the Lord, you know where you're going to be, right? Going to be with the Lord. Then we read about in Daniel 3 the patience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh my. Doesn't it bless your heart when you read that story? They wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't compromise. When the king looked in there, when Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I see four people in that fire, one like unto the Son of God. God was with them. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, didn't He? It was right there. They had patience that God would take care of them. Then old Daniel chapter 6 of that same book, he was in the lion's den. They didn't even make any motion to do him any harm because God was protecting him. And of course, these individuals, they were standing for God. They didn't give in. They didn't compromise. They stood firm. They did what God wanted them to do. Then you remember there in Acts 16, verses 25 through 32, we see the patience of Paul and Silas. They were in jail because they wouldn't give in. They were there. I heard one old preacher say one time he believed that they sang Amazing Grace. They may have, I don't know. But they were trusting God, that's for sure. And then a little later, they led the jailer and his whole family to Christ. They got saved. Yes, yes. And of course, we know the Lord Jesus is the greatest example in the Word of God of patience when he was before Pilate. You know, do you realize that Jesus could spoke a word and Pilate would have dropped dead just like that? He could, but he didn't. I'm sure his life was shortened. No doubt about that. Then we see his patience on the cross. At any moment, he could have got up. He could have left that cross. And you know why he didn't? He had you and me in mind. And many others. Sinners. And he went through that. Endured that. Suffered that. That you and I could have eternal life. Folks, don't ever stop loving the Lord. And if he is, don't let him play second fiddle in your life. He needs to be first fiddle, right? That's where he needs to be. No one ever did for you what Jesus did and is doing. Stop procrastinating. Let him do what he wants to do in your life. His patience in his dealing with Peter. God says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning his promises. And he's not. And he's not. Now I want to share with you, let me slow down a little bit here. In light of those two thoughts there, if we will do what I've encouraged you to do already, you know the kind of reputation that you'll have? You'll have the reputation of being a witness for Christ. You know, I believe if you and I live like we should, and we can do it, otherwise the Bible wouldn't tell us to. But if we live our lives like we ought to live them, we sin, we confess it. But we're striving by the grace of God to live for the Lord. And he gives us the grace to do it. But as you do that, you stay strong no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, regardless of the dark cloud that moves in, and you stay faithful. What are you doing? You're being a witness. Now that doesn't alleviate your verbal witness. There are people that have told themselves a lie to keep from doing what God has commanded us to do. You say, what's that, preacher? Well, I'll just live my life like I ought to live it for the Lord. That'll be a good witness. You know, that don't lead people to Christ. Might make them think about him, but it doesn't. But you got to use your tongue like we use for how many other things and some things that are not pleasing to God, but use your tongue to be a witness for Christ. A witness for Christ. Patient husbands, if he gets saved first, if he does the right thing, he'll win his wife to Christ. But you can't be a double standard, be one thing at home and something else at church. That won't work. Got to be consistent, faithful. And vice versa, wives that live for the Lord, normally, as a general rule, I've noticed this down through these years, that normally it's the wife that gets saved first for the largest percentage of times. And as they're faithful, and they go to church, by the grace of God, be the wife they ought to be, and mother, they win their husbands. I didn't say any of this is easy, but it's what the Bible teaches. Pure and simple. The Bible teaches this. When I came to Warrenton, I thought of this as went over this, got ready for the message. I worked at Earl's Texaco in Warrenton. How many remember Earl's Texaco? Remember that? On the right, now it's Moe's, just before Moe's. Now it's, Shell. It was a Texaco then. Your pastor worked there. Proudly pumped gas, cleaned windshields, checked oil, all of that. Now it's it's a forbidden thing at anybody's place where you get gas would do that. But you probably wouldn't even want them to. But I worked there. Hadn't worked there long until he put me in charge of the day shift. Be there at 6 o'clock, get off at 3, I believe it was. This gentleman, the manager, got sick. He went to Winchester Hospital. Very sick. Matter of fact, it led to his leaving this life. So I went to hospital to see him. I go to visit people like that. I always pray. Of course, back then, you didn't have to worry about all that's going on now and all of that. So I said, Lord, I just pray nobody be in that room when I get there. I want to be in there with him. Nobody interrupt us. You know, are you shocked if I tell you that God answered that prayer? He said, come on in, Vinton. So I did. We talked. We exchanged pleasantries. Asked him how he was doing and so forth. Finally, the Holy Spirit says, it's time. I said, called his name. I said, when you leave this life, where are you going? Like a lot of people say, they say, well, I'd like to think I'm going to heaven. Well, from working and being around him, if Christians do that, what do sinners do? Huh? Holy Spirit of God. Boy, I tell you, when you start with somebody and you see them tear up, that's a good sign. Long story short, he bowed his head and asked Jesus to come into his heart. I want to believe, by the grace of God, the witness and the work ethic. I believe that had something to do. I'm not replacing the blood of Christ or anything, but folks, I tell you, how you live affects your witness. If you witness. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. I want to give you one here now that will really get your attention. Patient drivers impress other drivers. About every time you go out today, you get horn cursed. Boy, you sit there a second longer after that light turns, I'm going to tell you, they're in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry. I've had some, over these years in driving, I remember one day, I thought and this was a woman driver, I thought she was going to pull over and whoop up on me. Man, I mean, oh, she was mad. Oh, my soul, and did some nasty gestures. Oh, my goodness. I just kept driving. I said, God, you know who that is. You know what's going on. I'm just saying that when you're out here in this ungodly dark world, the Holy Spirit will not forsake you, and He'll tell you what you need to do when it's time to do it. Now, I'm not saying I have a handle on anything. I'm just, by the grace of God, doing my best to live for God every day of my life. Every day, not just on Sunday, not just in the good times, but every day. Every day. When you fail in your Christian life, folks, to be a witness for Christ, you are in terrible shape. Terrible shape. Everything you do, whether at home or whatever you do, y'all have the attitude that'll want to do it right. I could mention some things you'd think was so simple that, you know, but I think it has a lot to do with your testimony. Observers of it, speaking of being patient, when you are patient, as a matter of fact, when you are, you stand out in the crowd. Really. When you're patient, even though you almost have to repent because you almost said something you shouldn't say. But anyway, you're patient. You're patient. And you just do the best. Matter of fact, people that observe you, if you're patient, they wonder how in the world you do it. Oh, this all troubles around you and everything is going awry and you're just as calm as a leaf in the summertime and no wind blowing. They just wonder, how in the world can they put up with this? Look how calm they are. Yeah. And another thing, this professing Christian believes, in other words, these observers believe that their witness is real. Real. They believe they're the real thing. You see, opportunities like these are worth waiting for. I've said this before. The greatest thing you'll do as a Christian, are you listening? The greatest thing you'll do, I have no reservation about this statement. The greatest thing, you'd say right now that God has blessed you and you love the Lord and He loves you. But He's looking forward to me and you doing some things for Him. And the greatest thing you'll ever do for Christ is lead someone else to the Lord. Greatest thing you'll ever do. Some people I'm talking to here this morning and online, you've never attempted it. That's sad. Never attempted it. When you stand before the Lord and you will, what are you going to tell Him? What are you going to tell Him? I'll tell you this, you're going to lose rewards if you don't. You sure are? Sure as world. Folks, it's a matter of being saved, knowing the Lord, waiting patiently for Him, going through your storms and troubles in life. And if we go through them like we should, we're going to grow. We're going to understand and realize that God is so real. And when He goes through those times of testing like Job did and others and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew they loved God and God delivered them. Don't you think when they got through all that trouble that, boy, they loved God more and God was right there with them and they were ready to take on the bear, so to speak. Been blessed of God. And God used them in a marvelous way. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? And I'm getting ready to close here. Win souls to Christ. The next best blessing, I believe, is when people can see the Holy Spirit working in your life. How does He do that? How does she do that? Boy, did you hear about so-and-so and whatever and so on? They know that God is working in and through your life. Yes, sir. They know. Now, let me say in closing, and I may be talking to someone here this morning, maybe more than one, you're just not patient at all. You lose it quickly. It's not good for a Christian. But let me say this, you can do it if you'll let God do what He wants to do in your life. One day you're going to find out you are not all that much to be trusted. Folks, we need God. Oh, we need God. We sure do. You see the Holy Spirit again. Here we, I mean, none of this and all of this involves the workings of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. We've got to understand that. And when you do, and whatever comes your way, the Holy Spirit will calm you down. He will. He will. Haven't you gotten upset and mad, and then about 10 minutes later or less, you said, why in the world did I do that? I had no need to do that. That second, see, he just convicted your heart and helped you to realize that that wasn't a very good Christian testimony that you just portrayed. We can do it. Now let me say something. A couple more things. I'm done. Your patience depends on your degree of surrender to the Lord. Your patience depends on your degree of surrender to the Lord. If you're walking with God and you're surrendered and the Holy Spirit has control, then you're not as quick to lose it. Matter of fact, probably won't. The fruit of the Holy Spirit progresses. For instance, our text tells us that. The first trait is love. Are you listening? If that's not active, there will be no joy. Folks, these traits are in sequence, ordered by the Holy Spirit of God. No love, no joy. No love, no joy, no peace. No love, no joy, no peace. Don't have any patience. There's no long suffering. See, when you apply these and you break them down, you see what God's trying to do for us? I want my Christian life to be a joy, not a drudgery and a dread. And you should too. And it can be if we'll let God do. None of us are perfect. We know that. None of us are beyond letting our guard down or lowering the shield of faith. The devil swats us a good one. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm talking to people here this morning. We have a number of people in our church that's going through some. I talked to Sister Randolph's daughters, Tina and Tammy, yesterday. Both of them, they know their mom is sick. They know she's sick. Of course, they, and I assured them that we'd be praying for them, for her, and the others. We have a number of people in our church that's sick. And almost without exception, people say, why are they going through this? Humanly speaking, I guess that's a fair statement, fair question. Let me say it again. We really don't have a right. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Let's bow our heads, please.